This message was recorded at the Redeemed Christian Church of God Salvation Center, where we're maximizing potential and fulfilling destiny. We pray you'll be blessed as you listen to the following message.
Romans chapter 11, 34 through 36. We're going to read it together in one accord as a church, and then you will take your seat while I do the rest of the work, and I will minister by the grace of God to you this morning. Amen. Romans chapter 11. Are they going to pull it up for us so we can read it together? Amen. Romans chapter 11, 34 through 36. Amen. Let us go. One, two, three, go. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to give him advice? And who has given him so much that he needs to pay it back? For everything comes from him and exists by his power and is intended for his glory. All glory to him forever. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. You may please be seated. As I mentioned, I would like to, for us to look into the sovereignty of God. This year, Pastor has given us that the entire year, we're going to be looking at the sovereignty of God. When we talk about sovereignty, we did a study in my house with our children. And we said, what is sovereignty? So many things came out. So many things were said of the meaning of sovereignty. Pastor would go around and ask each and every person in our household to say, what does sovereignty mean to you? And one answer that reigned, and that we all remember when we mention what does sovereignty mean to you, is the top dog. Amen. So this year, we're focusing on God as the top man. Amen. Not the top man that is coming for the retreat that we're having the to have and to hold, but God being the top of the top of the top. Amen. The sovereignty of God. So this morning, we're looking at the sovereignty of God in salvation. I figured it is a very good place to start, because one of the things that you and I have in common this morning, the reason why we are seated here together, is because of the gift that God has given to us, which is the greatest gift of all. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. And in Jesus, we find salvation. Hallelujah. The Bible says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not what? Perish, but what? Have everlasting life. And so it is important for us to see, you know, there's so many aspects of God's sovereignty. But the one that I want to focus on this morning is God's sovereignty in salvation. Amen. I want us to look at John this morning, John 15, verse 16. John 15, verse 16. I like to do an extensive study of the word. It's one thing for me to get up here and speak to you in philosophical sounding words and make myself sound like I am perfect and make myself sound like I know the right things to say and I have this oratorical finesse, but there is no oratorical finesse as serious as the word of God. Hallelujah. There is nothing that is superior to the word of God. I can give you my opinion. Oprah can give you her opinion. And so many psychologists and psychiatrists can give you their opinion based on things that are facts, but there is only one truth. Hallelujah. That truth is the word of God. So at the end of the day, in the court of law, if you say all said and done, what the final answer will be the word of God. So we must understand always, not just based on what we think or what our idea may be or what our experience are, the final order, the final thing that we must look at is the word of God. It is superior to any other thing because the word of God is God himself. Hallelujah. The Bible says that in the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And the word was what? Was God. Hallelujah. So after all said and done, the most superior, the sovereignty of God, we can even say, is in his word. So we want to look at the word. And again, we are looking at it and we are looking at the sovereignty of God in salvation. Amen. So John chapter 15, verse 16, it says, you did not choose me, my God. You didn't choose me. You did not choose me, but I chose you. Let that set every other thing correct in our head. Tell your neighbor, reset. Tell your neighbor, reset. Verse number 16 says something. It says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and anointed you. Tell your neighbor, I am anointed. You did not choose me, but I chose you and anointed you. That you should what? Go and what? Bear fruits, and that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give unto you. Amen. I want us to look very quickly at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to read verse 30 and 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 and 31. It says, but by his doing, who's doing? By his doing, you are what? In Christ Jesus. By whose doing? Speak to me this morning, church. By whose doing? Who is the his in that sentence? God. It says, by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Verse 31 says that just as it is written. Let's continue. That as it is written, he who glorifies him, he who glorifies, let him glory in the Lord. No, sorry. He who glories, let him glory in what? In the Lord. I'm here to speak to you this morning about the sovereignty in salvation. Amen. If we look at Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25 says, wherefore he is able also to save them. Are they going to pull it up for me? Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Let's look at the NLT. I was reading the King James Version. Let's look at NLT. It says, let's look at it together. It says, now, Hebrews 7, 25. Hebrews 7, 25. Hebrews 7, 25. Thank God I'm good with time management. Whatever I'm going to say to you today, I'm going to say isn't even still within time. Just because they're messing me up doesn't mean I'm going to run over time. Praise God, somebody. Put your hands together for Jesus. Are we ready? Are we on the same page now? Praise God. We're going to read this together. It says, therefore, somebody say therefore. He is able. Again, we always want to identify who are we talking about here. God. He, whenever we're seeing this he, let us be clear who we're talking about. God, yes? It says, therefore, he is able. Let's just put God there. Therefore, God is able. once and to save those who come to God through him. I want us to pause there for a moment this morning. We are talking about the sovereignty of God in salvation. There is nothing, as we stated last year, we did a study of the book of Romans, and one of the things we discovered in our study, in Bible study, I want to encourage everybody to come to Bible study, because Sunday is a charge day. Sunday is for teaching, but on the days of teaching, like we're teaching now, you have no way of asking questions. But in Bible study, we are doing a study together, and you're able to ask questions. Last year in Bible study, we studied the book of Romans, and one of the things we discovered in the book of Romans is that salvation is nothing to do with you. You did not do anything to be saved. Do I hear an amen in the house? We're talking about the sovereignty. When we talk about sovereignty, we're talking about somebody who has all of it together. Somebody who takes all of the glory in all of the things. Amen. And so when it comes to our salvation, when it comes to that being on the cross, when it comes to Jesus coming down from heaven, you had nothing to do with it. When it came to him making the decision in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was going with that prayer that he prayed and said, Lord, if this cup passes, and if you don't want it to pass, then I will take it and I will swallow it. You had nothing to do with it. Amen. When he made a decision that he was going to be beaten, he was going to carry the cross through the town, you had nothing to do with it. When he made the decision to hang on the cross for hours and hours, when they decided they were going to give him the vinegar and all of that, you had nothing to do with it. This is the sovereignty of God in salvation. The fact that he did not require you to do anything to save you. When he was on that cross and the Bible says he gave up the ghost, you had absolutely nothing to do with it. Amen. When we talk about the sovereignty of God in salvation, the book of Romans, among many other of the scriptures, lets us understand is that we do not have a part to play in our salvation. We do not have a part to play in the finished work of Jesus Christ. He did it by himself. Tell that to your neighbor. He did it, what? He did it by himself, all by himself. That's the sovereignty. Amen. The sovereignty of God in salvation. And the Bible is letting us know here in Hebrews 7:25. It says, therefore, he is what? Able. Once and to save those who come to God through him. And then we read the scripture that says that you didn't choose me. I chose you. Before you sinned, he chose you. Before you made the error, he chose you. Before the Garden of Eden, he chose you. I remember I mentioned this last year. Jesus became the game changer. Irrespective of the plan of the devil for your life, he chose you. Jesus became the game changer in all of the plan that Adam had, the plan that Eve had, the plan that the devil had. Jesus was already, because the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. So while the devil was thinking he was being strategic, Jesus was saying, checkmate. Hallelujah. I am so glad that he is the bishop of my soul. I am so glad he's not leaving my situation and he's not leaving your situation to the hands of the devil. So when people begin to say, oh, you know, the devil is lurking around. He's lurking and he's not lurking for you because your situation is sound. Your situation is done deal. Amen. If you want to say it, the fight is rigged. Hallelujah. If you want to, for lack of better explanation, for lack of better word, if you want to say it that way, you can say that the fight is rigged, or you can say that Jesus checkmate the devil from the very beginning. Hallelujah, somebody. Talking about the sovereignty. Talking about the sovereignty of God in salvation. Amen. If we look very quickly at the book of Jude, chapter 20, Jude 1:24. Whew, thank you, Jesus. It says, now, all glory to God, who is what again? Able. He is what? Able to keep you from falling away. It is God who is going to keep us. Hallelujah. It says, now all glory to God, who is what? Able to what? Keep you from falling away and will what? Bring you what? With great joy into what? His glory, presence, his glorious presence without. First Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Before we read that First Peter, the question then remains, if in the plan of salvation, God is sovereign and he showed forth his sovereignty, meaning that he did not need your help to save you. That's what the sovereignty of God in the plan of salvation is. He didn't need your plan. Demilade, your birthday is tomorrow. For real? I think that's what I saw, right? Today's the 16th, no? What's today? 12th. Oh, the 17th. Okay. All right. I saw the 17th. Praise God. He did not require you to add some dust to the plan of salvation. You know, the plan of salvation is not some huge part that you see those Disney witches cook up. Okay? It's not some huge pot that they're boiling and they're adding a dash of this and a dash of that and a dash of this and put this potion in. It is no potion. And even in the plan that we're talking about, he did not require any of your ingredients. He did it all by himself. Or did somebody die on the cross with Jesus? Did you die on the cross with Jesus? It was then that after he died, the Bible lets us understand the significance of that death, that we have been crucified with him. Not that we actually was crucified with him, but we partake in that blessing. Because the Bible says something, that everyone that hangs on the tree must be cursed. And so, by him hanging on that tree, he signified the curse. And after the curse, he signified the death, the burial, and then the resurrection. So, from the cross, we began to share that greatness. Because the Bible says that we are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, yet not I, but Christ who lives in us. So it is the power of Christ that allows us to wake up in the morning. It is the power of Christ that allows us to do the things that we do on a daily basis. It is the power of Christ that makes it possible for us to move and to do and to will. It is all in his good work, the finished work of Christ. So the question then becomes, what is our part? If there is sovereignty in the plan of salvation, what is our part? Our part is to understand that first, salvation has nothing to do with us. It is a gift, a free gift that we must receive. So if you want to say, what do? We can, number one, we can receive. Amen? Once we receive, because I guess if you want to call that work, then okay. If you want to call that work, to receive, to me, that's really still not work. It's the person who went to the market and cooked the stew and put all the ingredients in. That's the person that did the actual work. What do? You come to the table. I'm getting ready to go to Nigeria. I was telling the people that I work with, so they were like, so Joyce, how is it in Nigeria? I say, when I'm in Nigeria, I get up in the morning, I drop my nightgown, they pick it up, they go wash it. And then I sit at the table, they bring my food and they bring the water to wash my hands. Really, Joyce, for real, they do that? I said, yes, and they pour it on my hand as I'm washing it. And then they give me the napkin. And then I cross my leg and I eat the food. And when I'm done eating, I push the tray forward. Glory to God for Nigeria. Praise God. I'm getting ready to go to be treated like a queen again. Because once I finish eating, I just push the plate. I don't wash any plate. And then I call, Funke, yes, ma. Here they come running. I am not doing any work. By the time, I usually gain about 10 pounds while I'm there. So, you know, I like it because it's after the fast that I usually go. So I reset the button. I go back a few so that by the time I come back, y'all didn't even know I went to shut in because I'm rumurumu. I'm back with my rumurumu self. Praise God. What am I saying to you in that analogy that I just gave you? Really, when we talk about the salvation, the receiving part, it's not really much work. Jesus Christ already did the work. He took his sovereignty even in the plan of salvation. He did everything that needed to be done already. What do? Sit down at the table and eat it. He said, I will prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Hallelujah. He said, baby, come and eat. Our daddy Gio likes to use this analogy. He said, look, when he's ministering and when you're in the presence of God, it's like a buffet. Amen. If you like, when you go to a Chinese buffet, only take the shrimps. Some people only go to Chinese restaurant. My baby's laughing. Only to eat shrimp. By the time you eat all the shrimp, your stomach you're feeling nauseated already because you didn't balance the meal. You didn't balance all the things you're supposed to eat. Everything is free. You're over here eating only chopping shrimp. Praise God. Daddy Gio said that when it comes to the things of God, it is like a buffet. You can have whatever you want. Hallelujah. Christ has demonstrated his sovereignty in salvation. It is for you. So we say, what is our part? Our part is spiritual growth. Amen. Our part is what? Spiritual growth. Look, when we talk about the finished work of Christ, there are some benefits that it comes with. One of those benefits is the inheritance that is in the power, the blessing, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. There are benefits. There are inheritance. However, spiritual growth is not an inheritance. I want to say that again. You growing in the spirit. You growing, you maturing. That is not something that you take and you are like, oh, this one is also. No. Spiritual growth is not an inheritance. It doesn't just fall on your lap. That is where the work comes in. Because now people are going to be like, oh, yeah, well, you know, Pastor Joyce said that, you know, not that I'm in Christ, hallelujah, salvation, I didn't have anything to do with it. All I got to do is just receive it. Glory to God. I'm saved, and I'm saved to the uttermost, hallelujah. So I ain't got to do nothing. But let's look what the scripture says. Hallelujah. Let's see what the scripture says. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. First Peter chapter 2 verse 2 says something. First Peter chapter 2 verse 2, it says, like what? Newborn babes. Let me tell you something. When you receive Christ into your life, when you receive that finished work of Christ, there are some benefits, like I mentioned, right? Healing and all of that and all of that good stuff. And, you know, you begin to understand that, yes, I am saved, not by works, not by my works, but by the grace of God, amen? And that I receive this grace into my life, and it's going to work for me. But we must understand that we are babes. And it says, like newborn babes, you must what? Crave pure spiritual what? Milk, so that what? So that you will what? So that you will grow into what? A full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment. Hallelujah. It is our assignment to grow. God has given us and has demonstrated his sovereignty in the plan of salvation. So now that you are saved, the question is, are you going to remain a babe? Spiritual salvation is not an inheritance. It is something you must work out and something you must learn on your own, something you have to grow. Look, no matter what, if you give a child milk and the child is not eating, you're going to begin to see the evidence in the life of the child. And you are not, people are not the only people who are going to see the evidence. Every person that has breath will be able to see the evidence that this child is not growing. As a medical personnel, when a child is not eating, they give the child certain landmarks to be able to grow. By 6 months, a child should be sitting up, able to sit on their own. 6 months. By 6 months, the teeth should be out because they're getting ready to move to another dimension of growth. There are certain marks that needs to be on the plan of that first year of a baby to let us know that this baby is growing accordingly. Amen. So when a child is not eating, the doctors begin to say things like failure to thrive. Failure to thrive means that this child is not eating and this child is behind in the scheme of how they're supposed to be and where they're supposed to be. And so they say the child is failure to thrive. I am here to say to you this morning that there is, even though the sovereignty of God is in salvation, there is a part we must play now that we have come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And that is to grow spiritually. If we refuse to grow spiritually by not studying the word, if we refuse to grow spiritually by not understanding the finished work of Christ and what that means, what this sovereignty that the Lord demonstrated in salvation, how does it benefit me? People will begin to see that you have failure to thrive spiritually. You're still in the same spot. I was speaking to one of my daughters yesterday. I'm like, you know what? You need to grow in 2020 because you're still in the same spot. The things that you're getting upset about 5, 10 years ago is still making you upset now. You need to grow spiritually. Let me tell you some of the benefits of growing spiritually. When the enemy comes to you with anger, if you are still, when you first come to the Lord, you're still, you know, that you still have a lot of, okay, I'm still learning. Somebody comes to you. Let's say you want to get married. Someone comes to you 5 years before they marry, they're trying to see whether you're the one. They brought you to church, like pastor brought me to church. The only thing that disqualified me when my husband wanted to propose to me was that I didn't know the Lord. So he said, well, you know what? The best place I can take you is to the house of the Lord. And he took me to service. And so at the service, he didn't tell me anything, but he was backing me up with prayer that hopefully you're going to know to answer the altar call and go up there, because if you don't give your life to the Lord, if you don't receive Jesus, I'm not going to marry you. He didn't say that to me, but that's what he was thinking. So after he does all of that and I do receive Christ, let's say he decides to give me 60 days, or he decides to give me 1 year, or maybe even 3 years, to see, is there evidence of growth? Hallelujah. Evidence of growth. He looks at me and I'm still the same way. Does that look like something attractive for anybody to want to marry? Spiritual growth is very important. To be able to understand that you're growing. Remember, there was a time I was saying that there are evidence of growth. Even science, medical science tells us, how do you know that something is alive? Does anybody medical science here? How can you prove that something is living? One evidence is growth, right? Another one is multiplication, being able to produce after yourself. Hallelujah. So those are the things we need to be looking at. Our question should not be, oh, I just want to know, am I saved? Am I not saved? Am I saved? That's what you need to be looking at is, am I growing spiritually? Am I taking into effect the finished work of Christ? Am I taking the blessings that God has given to me? Can the devil come to me and try to make me feel like I'm scared and I'm also falling into the hands, I'm playing into the hand of the devil? If after 15 years of being saved, you're still playing into the hand of the devil can come into your house and go, and you're still afraid. You're not growing spiritually. Because those that are growing in spirit, those that are growing spiritually, when something is happening, they are not going to play to the hand of the devil. They're going to stand up and let the devil understand that I know who I am in Christ. Hallelujah. I've given you so many examples of situations where even in my marriage, even in what? My marriage, you see when the enemy tries to come. A lot of people don't realize, like, I'm identifying that this is the hand of the devil. And so they play, because they refuse to grow spiritually, they play into the hand of the devil. How do they play into the hand of the devil? When you know that this thing, this argument, is not going anywhere. This is just nothing but the devil. So you're feeling like, okay, well, I'm not going to apologize. There's been many times in my marriage where I was not at fault. It was evidence to even my husband that he's the one at fault. Guess what I went to do anyway? Honey, I'm sorry. Just keeping it real. Guess what? The reason why I'm saying, honey, I'm sorry, even though I'm not wrong, is because I refuse for the devil to make me another statistic. Because I always remember in my head, my mother, her first husband used to beat her. And she left him. Every one of my sisters have left their husbands. I am the youngest of 7 children. Am I going to allow the devil to mess me up? I said, Lord, so it looks like the devil set me up big. Not only am I the youngest, and every eye is on me, is she going to leave her husband too? I have birthed 4 girls. Why didn't I have boys? Because the devil was trying to set me up, thinking I'm going to fall into it. Thinking that, if I divorce, then what does my children have? They can divorce too. First divorce, second divorce, third divorce, fourth divorce. There will be no reason for them to stay. Why? Because I have set the state of divorce. But I made a decision as a child. I looked and I was able to identify what is the problem in the scheme of things in my family. The problem was they did not know Christ. So at a tender age of 10, I made a decision. I'm going to marry a man that loves God. So now that I married a man that loves God, does that mean the battle is over? No, the battle is not over. So that's why when I am not wrong, when I know that this one is not my fault, Even my husband knows this one is not your fault. But the devil is raging because that blood thing, it wants to pass through. The devil is raging. I decide to tell the devil, devil, I just want you to know, try your worst. But this marriage, I'm holding on. Because I'm going to set a new legacy. Because I am in Christ. And Christ is in me. And I know better. And I have grown. And I am growing spiritually. And I will not allow you to mess me up. So that I can mess my children up. I want to teach them a legacy of growth in the things of the spirit. That you stay and you fight. You stay and you fight. As many people that think that marriage is easy. Come and ask these older women that marriage is no easy task. Marriage is no easy task. Everybody is smiling. Everybody looks beautiful. Some people are desiring, I just want to marry. I just want to marry. Because they think marriage is all about having sex. But you need to understand that marriage is hard work. And it is not anything to cry home about sometimes. It's not like, oh, wow, you know, I just have a beautiful marriage. Everybody is smiling. You don't know what somebody's marriage is really going through. And then I posted something recently on social media. Everybody takes somebody's picture. And they say, ooh, relationship goals. Oh, they'll pick whose picture. And they say, oh, maybe they see Kanye West and what's her relationship goals. Because they were kissing and they leaning against each other. Relationship goals. And I said to them, I said, you have no idea. Everybody put their best picture on IG. You have absolutely no idea what they're dealing with in their home. So when you say relationship goals, you better know who you're using as an example and look in your word, the word of God, to make it your relationship goals. Growth is only one way when you are in Christ. Growth is not listening to Oprah when you are in Christ. It is those that do not have a vision and those that cannot go anywhere that are the ones that are listening to Oprah. If you are in Christ, the only way you can grow is by what the scripture says, that you desire the milk that comes from the word of God. Hallelujah. Though the Lord has demonstrated his sovereignty, hallelujah. Even though he demonstrated his sovereignty in salvation, you have received the salvation. It's time for you to grow spiritually. Hallelujah, somebody. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 18. Second Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forevermore. Please stand with me. On a final note, I want to say to you, don't measure your growth by somebody else's growth. Just because I'm telling my spiritual daughter that she needs to grow doesn't mean I don't have my own growing to grow. Hallelujah. Do not measure your growth with somebody else's growth. Just know that you need to grow. If you refuse to grow, the devil will slap you and you are saved. The devil will come and he'll be push you this way, push you that way, push you this way. You know what I'm talking about because I know that the Holy Spirit is expounding that in your heart. That a lot of us are suffering because we refuse to grow spiritually. We refuse to tap into the blessing that God has given to us, the spiritual blessing that God has given to us on the cross of Calvary. God has done all his work that he wants to do concerning the plan of salvation. Hallelujah. He has demonstrated his sovereignty in the plan of salvation. It is left for you to make a decision whether you will grow. Will you know
Will you know him? Will you be able to tap into him? Will you be able to will you be able to bring out the blessings that he has given you so you can stand and stand there for? That you can stand and stand without a shadow of a doubt that you are saved. And now with my salvation, this is what I'm able to accomplish. Devil, you cannot continue to mess with me because I know who I am in Christ Jesus. I want you to take a moment. Hallelujah. Take a moment and just bow your heart and say, Lord, this year I am going to show forth your glory, that your gift of salvation in my life, it will not be in vain, but I will do exploits. I will grow spiritually. I will multiply myself. I will demonstrate the identity of Jesus Christ. I will not allow your sovereignty in salvation to be in vain. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We give you praise. We give you glory and honor. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Come on, put your hands together for the mighty Savior. The mighty Savior. His name is Jesus. Amen.
We hope you've been blessed by this message. We encourage you to fellowship with us here at Salvation Center if you are in the San Antonio area. For more information, visit our website at www.rccgsanantonio.org.